Animals have exactly such a balance because they are immune to reason. Hence, the ideologues believed they were virtuous and deserving of respect. Jews, on the other hand, were alien and deracinating. They were the reason the biotic community of Germany was out of balance. Animal rights advocates correctly note that animal rights activism was a major concern in pre-Nazi Germany, and that the animal rights movement shouldn't be associated with Nazism. But as with environmentalism, this is less of a defense than it sounds. It is fine to say that many of Nazism's concerns were held by people who are not Nazis. But the fact that these conventionally leftist views were held by Nazis suggests that Nazism isn't as alien to mainstream progressive thought as some would have us believe. Ingrid Newkirk, the president of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, famously declared, "When it comes to feelings, a rat is a pig, is a dog, is a boy. There is no rational basis for saying that a human being has special rights." Few sentiments could be more fascist. First, there is the emphasis on feelings, not thought or reason, as the defining characteristic of life. Second is the assumption that the higher feelings, those associated with conscience, are of such little consequence that they don't enter into the equation. When Newkirk says there's no rational basis for distinguishing between vermin and humans, what she really means is that there's no legitimate distinction between them, which is why PETA felt no compunction in comparing the slaughter of pigs, cows, and chickens to the slaughter of Jews in their infamous Holocaust on Your Plate campaign. We joke a lot about hell fascists these days. The government, partly driven by creeping national socialist healthcare costs, is increasingly fixated on our health. Children's shows on state-run television have been instructed to propagandize for healthier living, so much so that Cookie Monster's C is for Cookie has been demoted by the new jingle, "Cookies are a sometimes food." This, of course, is nothing new. Herbert Hoover, Woodrow Wilson's food administrator, required children to sign a loyalty pledge to the state that they wouldn't eat between meals. What we do not understand is that the citizen hectored and hounded by the state to quit smoking has as much right to complain about fascism as an author would if his book was banned. As Robert Proctor was the first to fully catalog in his magisterial work, The Nazi War on Cancer, obsession with personal and public health lay at the core of the Nazi Weltanschauung. The Nazis, according to Proctor, were convinced that aggressive measures in the field of public health would usher in a new era of healthy, happy Germans, united by race and common outlook, cleansed of alien environmental toxins, freed from the previous era's plague of cancers, both literal and figurative.